Support comes from Ohio University's Voinovich School of Leadership and Public Service, a proud member of Ohio University's Health Collaborative, with the Heritage College of Osteopathic Medicine and the College of Health Sciences and Professions. We are partnering with local providers and communities to improve public health. Information is available at ohio.edu/Voinovich-school.
Hey everyone, this is Jazzed About Work, where we talk about everything that might have an impact on your career. I'm your host, Bev Jones. I write about careers and I'm an executive coach. And today we're talking about how, in today's world, leaders need to be more flexible. I'm thrilled that our return guest is Kevin Eikenberry. He's a top international leadership expert, and his comments are always interesting and helpful and sometimes a lot of fun. Today, Kevin will share insights and tips from his intriguing upcoming book, Flexible Leadership: Navigate Uncertainty and Lead with Confidence. The book says that old styles of leadership development aren't good enough now. Instead, it's time to help leaders become more adaptable. Kevin will describe how you can do that in three stages. First, develop a new mindset, and then practice the skills that flexible leaders need, and finally, build new habits. And Kevin will suggest ways that you can start today to become a more flexible leader. Kevin, I am so glad to have you here today. You are one of the brightest lights on the issue of leadership and how to do leadership in a changing world and on remote work and all kinds of things. And so I'm really pleased to have you here. And so thanks for coming today.
Well, thank you for the kind words. And I'm so happy to be back with you.
Today, of course, I want to talk about your upcoming book. It's not even out yet, Flexible Leadership. And the full title is Flexible Leadership: Navigate Uncertainty and Lead with Confidence. And that's just about what all of my clients who are leaders want. But before we get into the book, would you kind of bring us up to date? When you were here almost 2 years ago, we talked a lot about the keys to managing long-distance teams, and that's something you know a lot about because that's what you do. But would you just bring us up to date on what you've been doing the last couple of years, and what have you been focusing on as you're teaching people around the globe about the changing demands for leadership? What's been going on?
Well, when you write a book called The Long Distance Leader, and then there's a pandemic, and then you write books called The Long Distance Teammate and The Long Distance Team, that keeps you kind of busy for a bit, Beverly. And so we certainly have continued to help organizations with all of that. And, you know, the world of work is evolving rapidly. And so we've been continuing to help organizations with all of that. And obviously in the last few months, I've finished writing this new book, which I'm super excited about. I believe it's my best work to date, and I'm super happy to be able to talk to you about it today.
Well, I want to talk about that a lot, but I just want to ask a question about remote work before we leave that. Attitudes keep changing and changing and changing. I think 6 months ago, maybe, it looked like finally people are getting more comfortable with remote work. Finally, employers are getting more comfortable with remote work. But most recently, it feels like some big companies are saying, nope, we want you in the office again. And it looks like the federal government, it might be in that camp. What is your sense of the state of play on whether we're going to have less remote work or more hybrid work? What's your guess?
Well, you know, if you look at the history of how society has looked at and thought about work, it's been about 80-year cycles. It took about 80 years for sort of the Western world to sort of move from work is 6 or 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, to 40 hours a week, 5 days a week. I mean, it sort of took 80 years from when people first started playing with the idea of Monday to Friday kind of thing. And then it's been about 80 years from then until now, except we didn't really start playing with it until a pandemic happened. I mean, yeah, we had some remote salespeople. We had a few people that worked remotely because of technology allowed it. But for the most part, a pandemic changed everyone's thought about work instantly. And so, you know, 50 years from now, people are going to look back at this time and study how we worked through all these sort of competing demands and ideas about how work happens. I think work will be more flexible than it used to be. I think that some of the organizations that have now decided to bring people back will probably, some of those things will loosen over time because we've kind of let the genie out of the bottle. It doesn't surprise me that a lot of organizations are really wanting to bring people back. And yet I don't think we'll ever go all the way back to where we once were. I think that people have had an experience, both leaders and team members. And I think technology further aids the ability to do it. I mean, think about if we'd had a pandemic when all we had was a fax machine, it would have been a very different experience, right? And so I think the future is flexible, and I think the future will continue to move in the direction of a variety of ways of when, where, how, and where we work.
Well, I think you're right. Flexible is the word. And that brings us, of course, to your book, Flexible Leadership. The book doesn't come out until March 25, I think it is.
That's
but
correct.
I had a chance to get an early look.
And that's because you're special, Beverly.
Thank you. Thank you. Of course, I know you think everyone's special, but I will still cherish that compliment from you. I think that you really have your mind around what is happening in leadership trends all the time. And you know the history of leadership training and so forth. And in someplace early in your book, you talked about how just for decades, people have been doing leadership training programs and all kinds of workshops and things like that. And the leadership development programs have not been as successful as they might be. And you suggest in this book that it's time to just try something entirely different. Is that right?
Well, you know, I'm one of those people that's been the purveyor of and provider of some of that training and some of that development. And so, you know, that's long frustrated me that not only us, but us largely as an industry have not been able to be, Beverly, as successful as we all want to be and as successful as our organizations that are hiring us want us to be in terms of really moving the needle for all leaders in the right direction. And I think that, you know, we've really only been studying leadership in the context of how do we really develop leaders across an organization. We've really only been studying that for maybe 60, 70 years. And, you know, and I hate to say it, but I've been involved in half of that time, approaching half of that time. And so many smarter people than I have tried to figure out ways to do that. And I stand on their shoulders and I appreciate all the work that they've done. And yet, I think that we still haven't quite figured it out. And so I identify some reasons why that is in this book and try to talk about a new approach to thinking about it. And it's not necessarily an easy approach, but I'm pretty confident it can be a successful one if people will embark on that journey.
Well, what you say, the kind of the essence of what you're saying, I guess, is that leaders today have to become more flexible. What does a flexible leader look like? What is flexibility in this context? And can you see some models of that around?
I think the first challenge even of the idea of flexible leadership is for people to say, is that even something that sounds reasonable? Like, We can say this, and we can all sort of intellectually agree with this point, Beverly. The world of work is changing. The world of the world is changing. And so if we're going to lead the same way we always did, it might not be that successful. Like, people understand that. People will nod their heads with that statement. And then they will say, but don't we want our leaders to be consistent? Don't we want our leaders to be a known quantity and not be flip-flopping or whatever word you want to put around that? And to which I would say, yes, we want our leaders to be consistent. And yes, we want our leaders to be flexible. One of the underlying ideas and points of reference for this book is that thinking about things in an either or manner, either consistent or flexible, as an example, is not going to help us. That rather, we live in a both and world much more than an either or world. And so that means we need to be both consistent and flexible. So any of you, as you listen to this, you can either look out a window and see a tree, or you can see a tree in your mind. And if I asked you, is a tree strong and stable? You would say yes. And if I said, is a tree flexible? You'd say, well, yes. And so a tree is stable and consistent and strong, if you will, because it's rooted. But in order for it to be successful, it must also be flexible. So if we take that as a metaphor for us as leaders, that means that we need to be rooted and consistent in our values, principles, the mission of our organization. But we must be flexible in terms of how or the approach that we take to leading. And all of the stuff that we've collectively taught leaders to do in the past has been about, well, what are your strengths? What is your style? What's the approach that you tend toward? And that's really useful and insightful until it's not. And it becomes unhelpful when it boxes us in and allows us to excuse or explain our unwillingness to be flexible because we are X kind of leader. And that's where that's what we've got to get past.
So your book is kind of a guidebook on how to get past that and how to become a flexible leader or help other people become flexible leaders. And by the way, when I was reading, what struck me is, and you and I have talked about this before, that leadership is sort of a way of being. And you can think of yourself as a leader in an organization that's very flat, and leaders, all the things you just said about having values and being reliable and those kind of things are a form of leadership for everybody in the team. Is that the same here, that whether or not you're a leader, a book like this can help you act like a leader so that you're prepared to deal with whatever happens?
I would say this, Beverly, that leadership is it's a verb, not a noun. In other words, we're leading if people follow. We're not leading because we have a job title. And so from that perspective, yes, I believe the ideas in this book can help all of us. From a practical standpoint, though, the chapter, you called it a guidebook. The chapters that talk about the flexors, for example, are going to be more helpful to you if you have the role, and yet it would apply to all of us. But it's clearly written, but the audience that I had in mind are people that are leaders or are already seeing themselves moving into it positionally, even though I completely agree with you that ultimately it's not a position at all.
Okay, so now let's get into the book. It's divided in three sections. And I think by kind of going through those three sections a little bit, that would be a good way for you to give us kind of a sense of what flexible leadership is and a sense of what the book is. And I believe so much in leadership and managing yourself and enjoying life starts with mindset. And that's what you started with. So would you start by telling us about the mindset of flexible leaders?
Well, yeah, we've hinted at a couple of those things already, right? We've hinted at the idea that it's not only possible, but useful to be flexible, right? And so that's part of the mindset. Because if people don't see that, understand that, believe that. It doesn't matter what we do in terms of teaching skills. In fact, that's one of the problems with a lot of organizational leadership development is that we don't start with mindset. We just dive into skills. So one of the mindsets is the idea that flexibility is not only possible, but valuable, perhaps even optimal. And the second it, we've already hinted at is that part of it is about the idea that the world is more gray than black and white in most areas, right? And so the point of either or is not as valuable to us as both and. So there's more to the mindset than that, but for the context of this conversation, that probably is enough to help us continue our conversation.
All right, I have a question here before we get to the skills. My clients who tend to be leaders, I do a lot of work with universities and federal government and so forth. So they tend to be leaders of not businesses, just so there's a frame here. And yep. What I find is that one of the things that some of them struggle with is confidence. And they can look at the leaders they admire. They admire the confidence, but they don't feel it. Does I think that confidence can make you able to be flexible, and flexibility helps you develop confidence. I think that. Is that true? Would you agree with that? And how might flexibility and confidence work together as a leader is growing?
Yeah, I think they absolutely go together. And here's the thing. So, you know, the subtitle of the book has these two key words, uncertainty and confidence, which you would say, well, those seem pretty different. Like, how do we build confidence if the world around us is uncertain?
Yeah.
And in many ways, that's the core of the book, is to give you a model and an approach to say, hey, we can't wish away uncertainty, right? By many measures, the world is more uncertainty. The world of work is more uncertain. The world of organizations is more uncertain than ever. And certainly the federal government or governments, and certainly in higher education, there's more uncertainty there perhaps than there's been in you and I's lifetime.
Yeah.
And so uncertainty isn't going to go away. So the goal here isn't like, how do I absolve myself or remove myself from the uncertainty, but rather how do I have a roadmap and a framework to deal with it, because it's going to exist. And if I have a framework, then that helps me build my confidence that I can in fact address it, that I can in fact lead through it, that I can in fact navigate it. So I'm with you that confidence is a critical piece. Like, here's the thing. Pretty much every person individually would say, man, when I have greater confidence, I do better work.
Yes. Right?
We call that the confidence competence loop. And that as we build confidence, it helps us build competence. And as we build competence, it helps us build confidence. I think that's sort of universally and profoundly true. And yet we don't always think about that when we're helping our leaders get better, right? Like we promoted them because they were really good at the job they did before, which might have really very little to do with this next set of responsibilities that we're giving them, right? So we're trying to give people a framework to understand what to do in the face of adversity and uncertainty, not to try to absolve ourselves of it, but to lead through it, to navigate it, as we say in the book.
So that brings us to the skills that flexible leaders can work on too, so that they can stay calm and move forward, even in chaos. What are some of the skills that you talk about here and that you really think are key?
Well, there's really two big pieces, Beverly. And the first piece is understanding where we are. In the book, we call it sense making. And we lean on some really great work by a group of folks, including Dave Snowden, who created something called the Kinevin framework. And we're using it here in sort of a personal, from a personal view. And the idea here is that any situation we find ourselves in as a leader, whether it's interpersonally with others, whether it's with our team, whether it's with the external environment, the situation we find ourselves in is either one of certainty, one of complication, one of complexity, or as you said, one of chaos. And the challenge with most all leadership development work up until now is it's all based around either certainty or chaos. And the world in which we live today is much more about complexity or complication and complexity than the other two. And so that's the clarion call for being flexible, right? Like if everybody knows all the pieces, then leading the way we've always led is probably good enough, but that's not where we are most of the time. Like I worked in an organization before I started my company, a very large and very successful company, which a lot with a tremendous amount of focus on best practices. But in a world of uncertainty, best practices are going to lead us to unintended consequences. What we need perhaps are either really are adaptive practices based on what's really happening. So, and I know that you wanted to talk, you mentioned chaos, so we can go there. You know, I think that there's two things. Organizations and individuals try to think like either things are certain or they're chaotic. When I think it, more often what we think of as being chaos or we call chaos is actually just complex, right? Because in a moment of true chaos, and so we work, for example, with a lot of electric utilities. And so you may know nothing about electric utilities, everyone, but you've probably had your power go out, right? There's been a storm and your power goes out. And the electric utility is doing everything they can to get the power back on, right? And every part of that organization is doing everything they can to get the power, get the lights back on for everybody as quickly as they can. And in those moments, they don't need to try to build consensus. Those are moments of chaos. And in those moments, what they need is for a leader to say, you go here and you go here and we'll start here and we'll do this. And in those moments, that's exactly what we need. But in a moment of complexity, that's not what we need. And yet that's what many leaders do. They lean back into command and control. They lean back into, I'm supposed to have all the answers. And that keeps them from being flexible.
You know what? I think you just gave me a gift for working with some of my clients who they talk a lot about chaos. And I think very often if you rename somebody, if you reframe it, it's still the same thing. It's still the same stuff. But all of a sudden with a different label, it becomes more accessible. And I think what people really are struggling with very often is complexity and kind of new stuff coming from every direction. And I'm going to use that word a lot. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Part of what in coaching we do a lot of is helping people become more successful by developing new habits. There's just so many things you can't think about every single thing all the time. But if you can build habits, you don't have to use your brain if you've got the right personal habits, correct?
Agreed.
And so you get into habits, and I love that.
Yeah, we do. We definitely do. And it's, in fact, our habits today that are one of our impediments, right? Because what we do is we end up leading based on what our first reaction, natural response, leadership style tells us, right? So we don't think about it. In fact, habits are so awesome because they allow us to operate on autopilot. And we have hundreds of habits in our lives. Many of them serve us, some of them don't. And so what we're talking about in this book is getting us past those auto responses or what we think we're supposed to do as leaders or what we're supposed to do because we're this style of leader or we have this set of strengths, to rather to say, well, what is the context of the situation? What does the situation call for? Rather than automatic pilot, right? So we talk about habits to help us understand the ones that are serving us and the ones that aren't. And then we spend some time helping people think about creating new ones. And I think one of the things in that section, Beverly, that I'm most proud of is that we can talk about habits on sort of a granular level, but I think we also need to think about having rituals. And rituals are, to me, at a higher level. I wrote something today for one of our newsletters about the ability and the need for us to be able to reset, right? Like if your computer is going amiss, you know how to reset it, right? Mine, it'd be control alt delete, right? You've got a button on the back of your phone, or somehow you can reset the phone. And so we need to have rituals to help us reset our mind, our body, our soul. We need to have rituals that help us get recentered. We need to have rituals that can help us sort of at the meta level of habits to get us back to a place that will help us be more successful. And we talk some about that in the book as well.
I really was thrilled to see the word ritual in your book, because it's something that I'm use a lot in my own life. And I sometimes use the word with clients, but to some people that sounds religious or something. But what my husband and I do, for example, is we have kind of dates. We're both really busy people, but we have rituals that might be simple. We go to the coffee shop together. We walk the dogs at a certain time. Rituals are things that bring people together. You can have a ritual for yourself, but in the context of leadership, if you create rituals where you do things in the same way and you build some consistency, that can be very useful, right? And so what kind of rituals are you thinking about?
Well, on a personal level, I talk about several in the book, both little and big, right? Like there are places where I can be that when I'm there, it restores me. And so you might see me in this particular place. It's at the farm I grew up on. And if I'm walking around, you might just think, well, Kevin is just walking around aimlessly. But no, what Kevin's doing is completely and thoroughly recharging. And it's not near my house. I can't go there anytime I want. But I make sure that when I'm there, I make the time to help have that happen. That's an example of a ritual. I have all sorts of rituals. We have rituals on our team around certain things. My team is remote. We're spread out across the United States. And there, when we have a team meeting, there are certain things that we nearly always do. They bring us a sense of unity. They bring us a sense of mutual understanding. They, in some of these cases, bring us some laughter. And so I think we can look to build rituals, which think of them as sort of macro habits, if you will, and doing them can be really very, and the examples that you gave, Beverly, are great ones, right? Whether they're personally or whether they're with others. And I think that we underestimate that. You know, I just heard earlier today from a colleague who said that in some of their work on it, Karen Hurt is her name. She and her husband, David Dye, wrote a book about conflict. And they were talking, and I can't recall the title at this moment, but they were talking about in their survey work for this book that something like about a quarter of the conflicts that show up in the workplace are because people are sort of burnt out, right? And another large percentage of the conflict in organizations is around the uncertainty that people are facing. So when you put those two things together and you say, if we can figure out ways to create a little more mental fitness, and if we can give us a new way to think about uncertainty, then maybe one of the side benefits even might be that we will have less conflict. And I'm guessing most of us would like less conflict in our work life.
I think so. Well, just on the topic of ritual and habits, in my head, there's a little bit of a distinction that, say, the way you start your meeting or any other kind of group ritual, it's not the same as a habit, in that a habit can be something that just happens without your thinking at all. The part of the powerful thing of even a simple ritual is that it requires you to make a choice to kind of focus on it. You choose to do the ritual. And I think if everybody's making a similar choice, it brings people together and it builds connection. So if you're starting a remote work and you have people all over the place, if they're all choosing to kind of engage in the same thing, that kind of builds connection, doesn't it?
100%. It surely does. Yep.
So where, let's say we've got listeners out there who are really intrigued by this, but your book doesn't come out for a while yet. How might somebody start trying to move toward flexibility? Is it you start by kind of writing a statement about your mindset? How would you advise our listeners today to take a step toward flexibility?
Let me give you a very tangible thing to do. So 20 times today, someone will ask you a question, or you will ask yourself a question, or you'll be facing a situation and you'll think, what should I do? And you will say, it depends. The next time you hear or in your head or say, it depends, that's an opportunity to be flexible. Because what does that mean? That means I need to look at this situation, the context, a little more carefully before I decide what to do. See, we naturally are able to tweak and adjust, except that we don't always remember to. Obviously, in the book, we go a lot deeper and give you some very specific flexors and things to think about. But if you will just start with the next time you are thinking, well, it depends, there isn't just a simple answer. It could be, I need to think about this or this or this, like who's involved, where is it happening, when does it happen, why is it happening? If I can ask myself those questions, it's going to give me a new perspective and likely then lead me to a slightly different, maybe a significantly different response or decision or interaction than my initial thought or my initial response might have been. So that's the first thing is when you hear or think it depends, stop and explore the why it depends to give you more information on context and then go from there in a more be willing to be flexible in that moment. And the second thing I would say is even though you can't get your book now, you ought to go ahead and pre-order the book. Even if you can't get it now, I'm going to point you to someplace that you can go, everybody, and get a couple of free things. One is if you'll go to KevinEikenberry.com/gift, you get the chance to point yourself in the direction of more information about the book. But on that page, because you've listened to Beverly and I's conversation, I have a gift for you. I created a masterclass a couple of years ago about confidence, building our confidence and building the confidence of others. And we've been selling that for a couple of years, but now it's for you, it's free. So you can get the access to that, what we call Remarkable Masterclass on confidence, just for having been here. Just go to KevinEikenberry.com/gift. And while you're there, there's lots of information about the book and you can get access to all that. And if you go to KevinEikenberry.com/flexible, you can also get a chapter of the book. You don't have to wait. You can get one chapter today.
That is fabulous. That's very exciting. Again, the full title of the book is Flexible Leadership, Navigate Uncertainty and Lead with Confidence. And I will just tell listeners that there's something magic about Kevin's work. It tends to leave people feeling more confident kind of right away. I've recommended his work to lots of clients, and I'm always thrilled to have him here on Jazzed About Work. And I've got my notes here just for my own use. I hope some of you have some too. So, Kevin, thank you for being here.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
Today we've been talking with leadership expert Kevin Eikenberry about why today's leaders need to be more adaptable and how you can learn to be flexible. I'm your host, Beverly Jones, author of Find Your Happy at Work. Nathan Kane is our audio director. And our sponsor is the Voinovich School of Leadership and Public Service at Ohio University. Today's tip is that you can start being a more flexible leader if you practice pausing and listening carefully before you jump to a decision. Thanks for listening, and if you enjoyed today's show, please Let your friends know about it.